Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Remember the song? You remember that great band, Dexy's Midnight Runners? And of course, who could forget Carl Douglas, Nina, the Baha Men? Perhaps not familiar names, but
not
you
exactly.
Probably know the hits that they're famous for. Come On, Eileen, that's what we're listening to right now. Kung Fu Fighting, 99 Red Balloons, Who Let the
Classic.
Dogs Out. Yeah,
99
absolutely.
Red Balloons. Yeah. Oh, my God. I've
musicians,
been thinking about that all day today.
Musicians don't actually make a lot of money off of songs like these, but the record companies do. How many times, seriously, have you actually heard the Macarena at a wedding without really knowing that the band responsible for it was Los Del Rio?
Never heard it at a wedding.
Really?
I'm glad to say that. Yes,
that's really odd. The fact of the matter is, the record industry makes millions of dollars from legacy recordings, especially things like one-hit wonders, as long as they own the recordings. But that's about to change. There's a provision in U.S. copyright law that stipulates that songs released after 1978 were granted termination rights. And what that means is that artists actually can get back ownership of their work after 35 years has gone by. Here to tell us more about that is Kenneth Abdo, Vice President of Lauman Abdo Law Firm and Chair of the Entertainment Law Department. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
And Rick Carnes, President of the Songwriters Guild of America. And Rick, you've written songs on over 40 platinum albums, I'm told.
Yes, I have. And good morning.
Good morning. Do any of your songs, Rick, come under the new deadline? Are there any of them almost 35 years old?
Well, yes. My first number one song, and also Reba McEntire's first number one song called Can't Even Get the Blues, is about to terminate in the year 2015.
And so you're going to buy the ownership rights back?
I don't have to buy them back. They come back to me by law.
Wow, so it doesn't cost you anything. So Kenneth, you're the lawyer here. How exactly does this termination rights clause work?
Well, what happens is the clock starts running about from 35 years from the publication or the release, actually, of the work. And then within 10 years of the termination date, you have to put in a notice, serve a notice, upon the party to which the right was transferred, and then 5 years after the 35 years is the window in which to terminate.
Okay, so Ken, you actually represent a lot of artists in your law firm, right?
I do.
Such as,
and I'm a fan of Rick's writing too. So, hey,
well, thank you. You have great taste, sir.
There you go.
You represent the artists who are responsible for this song. That's also a favorite at many weddings, Kenneth Abdo. So, for example, what kind of revenue rights is that worth to the band that made it, Lip Sync?
Well, that's a complex question because, you know, first off, what's great about Funky Town is that it was the number one song around the globe, although the rights we're talking about fall only under U.S. law. The song, you know, over the years has made a lot of money, and going forward, the question is really what was the health of the music business and how much might a song like that make going forward. But it is a classic. It bookends the disco era, and it's been a valuable copyright throughout. So, you know, it's a valuable song. It continues to be licensed and played, performed, etc.
And it's even sung at karaoke, tragically. That's Kenneth, Ken Abdo. He's vice president of the Lauman Abdo Law Firm and chair of the Entertainment Law Department. Rick Carnes, a songwriter with songs on more than 40 platinum albums. How many? Do you have any idea how many of your songs are actually eventually going to come back to you?
In terms of numbers,
yeah.
Well, all of them will eventually come back to me. I don't know how many songs I've written, however.
Oh, okay. So this could be, I mean, you don't really know how much this could mean for you in terms of how much money you'll eventually be making.
Well, I can't tell you an exact figures. I can tell you it will be twice as much money as I would have earned on them if they had not terminated.
So tell me, Rick, what difference does this make? I mean, does this in the end change the calculation for songwriters? Does this sort of change the balance of power?
Between songwriters and music publishers, going forward, yes, it will, because if you think about it, the copyright is for life plus 70. So 35 years is not the normal lifespan, you know. So we'll have the song for 70 years after the end of our lives, plus whatever happens after the 35 years is up. So we will eventually own the bulk of the copyrights, because the music publishers will only own 35 years worth of the copyrights.
But what that, of course, means is, in order to make money, Rick, you have to write a song that's still popular and getting played 35 years after you wrote it.
Or not give it away to begin with.
Well, one or the other, yes.
Yeah.
But I didn't give my songs away. I assigned the rights to a music publisher in return for an advance.
Sure, sure, sure. But, right. Rick, I worry about the sort of crazy heart scenario, you know, that these poor artists, they do what you have to do to get the advance, to make a living as a musician, but that there's some musician out there 35 years after they terminate, you know, the rights come back to them, and they're living in a box somewhere, and somebody says, yeah. Hey, your song's now paying you, but you know it's sort of too late for some of these artists.
Yes, unfortunately, it's there's a lot of situations where people either didn't handle the money correctly or didn't get paid, and in those cases, this will be a godsend for them, really, because they will all of a sudden get an increase of 100% in their earnings.
That's Rick Karnes, president of the Songwriters Guild of America. Kenneth Abdo from the Lohman Abdo Law Firm and chair of the Entertainment Law Department there. Ken, tell me exactly, is this kind of an improvement on our copyright law, or is there still tinkering that we need to do in order to protect musicians like the ones John was just talking about?
Well, I think this is an improvement, but this improvement was instigated back in 1976 when the Copyright Act was amended. That's what gives the language in that codification gave rise to this right. So what it is back then the legislators recognized that artists had signed deals that were maybe not that favorable to them because they don't have leverage, would have a second bite at the apple in 35 years. So we're just dealing with what was thought up many years ago, and we're going to get some pushback from the companies that are now controlling these copyrights. But in fact, this was the intention all along. It's a very important thing because there was that policy behind it, and it's doubly important because not only does it allow artists to renegotiate in some instances, but it's really a big deal to their estates. I mean, this applies to children and grandchildren because of the length of copyright, you know, was extended, as Rick said, from the life of the author plus 70, and that extension was exacted by Sonny Bono when he was alive. That was one of his big contributions to artists' rights. Extended from the life of the artist at plus 50 years. So it will change the economics, but the idea was that, you know, the companies made a lot of money with it, and now there's a chance for the artist to, you know, to renegotiate their position.
Maybe it gives musicians an even more incentive to write a song that's going to stand the test of time. That's Ken Abdo, Vice President of the Lohman Abdo Law Firm, Chair of the Entertainment Law Department, and Rick Karnes, President of the Songwriters Guild of America, author of songs featured on more than 40 platinum albums. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you very much.
So what songs did you write 35 years ago that you'd love to come back home and be one of your children again? Do you have any one-hit wonders? Sing them if you call it 877-8-MY-TAKE. We'd love to hear your intellectual property rights demanded on our air. Of course, throughout the morning and throughout the week, we've been asking for big ideas on how to fix the U.S. economy. You can be a part of our own super committee.
This is Lolly from Minneapolis. I would create a reality TV show where people who have great ideas for job creation would come on and compete against each other. Judges would be Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, the Google guys, Ben and Jerry.
Yeah, they need work. 877-8-MY-TAKE with your own big ideas to fix the economy. But no, we love that idea, but I have to think that maybe one-hit wonders will make more money.
One-hit wonders?
Than a reality show, I think, possibly. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.